Labor courts, there are industrial tribunals, there are national tribunals also under this act, which are considered to be authorities for resolving the disputes. Labor courts, the government may constitute one or more labor courts for the adjudication of industrial disputes related to legality of an order passed by employer, interpretation or application of a standing order, discharge or dismissal of workmen, withdrawal of benefits, etc. So these are the various reasons for which the government may appoint a labor court. A labor court shall consist of one person only with necessary judicial qualifications. So here there is no board where four or five people are there, or three or five people are there. It is only one person who has got the necessary qualification to take care of this, which is prescribed in the act. So he should be a judge of the High Court, or he should have presided earlier, so many years of experience, and all those things are given. Similarly, there are industrial tribunals. The government may constitute by official notification one or more industrial tribunals for the adjudication of industrial disputes which are related to any matter including wages, compensation and other allowances regarding hours of work, bonus, profit sharing, provident fund, gratuity, retrenchment, closure, etc. It can also handle disputes related to classification of grades for the jobs in the hospital. It can also take care of the disciplinary action if it is taken, so discipline and rationalization, etc. And national tribunals, the government may constitute through official notification one or more national tribunals for the adjudication of industrial disputes which, in the opinion of the central government, involve questions of national importance or of such a nature that industrial establishments situated in more than one state are likely to be interested in or affected by such disputes. Here also one person is there. But now let's understand why national tribunals are required. Because when the company is spread over multiple states and there are workers working in multiple states in this company, in that case, naturally, one industrial tribunal in one state cannot decide about all the state's workmen. And hence, national tribunal is required for that. Or some of the thing which is not possible by the industrial tribunal to give the opinion, because it has got something which is concerned with the whole nation. And in that case, national tribunal should adjudicate such kind of thing. So we need national tribunal also. So we have seen regarding national tribunals, and as far as the hospital is concerned, let's find out whether a doctor comes under Industrial Disputes Act or not, whether he can be considered as a workman or not. Well, there are various case laws have been decided for the doctors in various hospitals, which has happened. When in some of the court case laws, the doctor has been considered as a workman because he is technically doing only one kind of work, examining the patients and giving treatment. While in others, they have told that doctor is a professional and he cannot be considered as a workman. In some other cases, they have found that when he was not only giving the treatment to the patient, but he was doing a supervisory work or of managing the compounder or the pharmacist, nurse, etc., and then he cannot be considered as a workman. So it is still a gray area. One doesn't know exactly how to define as per the different case laws. So with this, let us go to the last major topic of this subject, and that is conflict. Well, let's understand what is conflict, under what circumstances usually the conflict occurs, and how it should be managed, and specifically in hospitals, what are the characteristics of conflict for the hospital employees and all, and how to tackle that. So a conflict is a process that begins when one party perceives that another party has negatively affected that person or is about to be negatively affected, something that the first party cares about. So it's a very definite and specific definition. One can say there has to be two or more people, and ultimately conflict is not instantaneous, it's a kind of process where one party is maybe is not actually being affected, but then he perceives to be affected, then also a conflict will occur. So at times perception may be different than what actually is, but still conflict will depend on perception. So when one party perceives that another party has negatively affected, that means something which one party does to the other has to be a negative connotation, then only the conflict will occur. If it is positive, naturally there is no conflict in that. A person is happy about it, right? So, or he is about to be negatively affected in the recent future or something, that also if he perceives that way, then also the conflict will occur. And the conflict will occur only if the first party cares about this thing. If it is something which is trivial, which he can neglect or ignore, then the conflict may not occur. So as far as the conflict is concerned, the traditional view is that the conflict is very harmful and it should be avoided at all cost as far as possible, because finally it can lead to a lot of problems in the interpersonal relationships or for everybody around also. While the human resource view is that the belief is that the conflict is natural. It is but natural when two or more people are going to come together. Some or the other time there is going to be some difference of opinion and a conflict is likely to occur. An inevitable outcome in any group that way. When anybody is working in a group or a team, some or the other difference of opinion is bound to come. Even with husband and wife, there is bound to be some or the other conflict whenever they are going to take the decision and if it differs for a particular thing. While interactionist view tells that the belief is that conflict is not only a positive force in a group, but that is absolutely necessary for a group to perform effectively. So according to interactionist view, one can say that conflict is actually essential and there should be some conflict in a group, then only one can function as a group in much better way. So there is a concept of conflict as an example of a hot stove rule, where usually if a person touches the hot stove, immediately he gets the thermal injury, and whenever he touches that, every time he touches, he is going to get it, so it is going to be consistent and there is a steam coming out of it sometimes. Or once he has been affected by this, immediately he gets a warning that one should not touch that, and there is nothing personal about it. It is an impersonal thing which occurs. So let us define conflict. It's a state of incompatibility of ideas, which can be between two or more parties or individuals. Conflict management will be therefore is a practice of identifying and handling conflict in a sensible, fair and efficient manner. So first one should identify that the conflict exists, then only one can handle it in a sensible way, in a fair way and in an efficient manner, so that the adverse effects of conflicts are prevented. Conflict resolution is resolving the dispute to the approval of one or both the parties. Some dispute occurs, it has to be resolved, and it should be resolved amicably in such a way that one party or both the parties are going to approve, then only the conflict will be resolved. So let us understand what are the various sources of conflict which can occur. One is incompatible goals and time horizons. If between the two people, the communication is occurring regarding achieving some goal. If the goal of one person is totally incompatible with the goal of the other, there is bound to be a conflict between the two. For example, when there is a marketing department and an accounts department. Now the performance appraisal of marketing department and account department is to be done in totally a different way. And hence the approach towards selling the goods or the services for that industry is going to be different. For example, if a marketing person wants to sell more number of things to the client, and then based on the number of products he is selling, his performance appraisal is taken and he will be getting the extra amount for that, or bonus and incentive for that, naturally he is likely to sell on credit also. And at times he may not be seeing whether this credit, that customer is credit worthy or not. So at times if he sells it and that person doesn't give the money back to the company, then also at times he is tempted to sell, because finally his own personal gain is when he can sell more. On the other side, the accountant's role is cost containment, and he has to see to it that whatever has been sold, the money is received. So credit should be given according to an accountant only when that person or that customer is totally credit worthy. So credit worthiness of that customer is extremely essential by the accountant. So both these people, regarding the same goods, they are looking from different angle, and there is bound to be a conflict between the two, because when the marketing person sells the goods on credit, and if the money doesn't come, the account person is going to ask the questions to marketing person that how have you sold those goods to that person who has earlier also not given us money, his credit worthiness is doubtful. So this is how, when the goals of both the parties or both the individuals are going to be incompatible, there is going to be a conflict. Or the time horizon also, somebody wants to finish it within 2 hours, some task, the other person is not bothered for that much, and then because there is some priority which is more important for that person, and both of them are supposed to work in cohesion, it will be difficult for them to do that, and hence the conflict is likely to occur. If there is overlapping authority, then also the conflict is likely to occur. Now imagine a nurse in a hospital. She is reporting to the matron or the nursing superintendent, as well as to the HOD of the ward doctor. Now when one task is given to the nurse by HOD or the ward doctor, he expects that task should be over within half an hour. While the nursing superintendent, that task is not that important for her. If she is telling the nurse to do some other task also within half an hour, then there is a conflict in the mind of the nurse which task she should do first. Because then she is the only person who is supposed to do both the tasks, and the time limit given is only half an hour, and that task takes minimum 30 to 35 minutes to be completed. So naturally, wherever there is overlapping authority, there is bound to be a conflict. Then task interdependence. When a person A is dependent on person B for the task to be done, then naturally, if the task is not completed by person B and ahead of that the person A has to do the task for which he is accountable, then naturally he will be very much concerned about that, and he is going to ask person B to complete this task as early as possible. For the person B, there may be other tasks are also important, but then for A, he is dependent on person B to complete the task, and hence he is very much concerned for this kind of task, and there is bound to be a conflict occurring because of this. Incompatible evaluation or reward system. If the evaluation of a person is done by two people and their way of evaluating this person is totally in different directions, then again there will be a conflict. Because the task may be incompatible for evaluation by two different people. And then naturally they are going to evaluate in different ways because of this, and that person is having lot of mental conflict because of this. Scarce resources. Whenever the resources are inadequate, people are bound to ask for resources for their own department. There are 5 departments, each is requiring 20,000 rupees for purchasing certain essential items. But the hospital administrator says that I have got only 40,000 rupees with me. And now these 5 departments, how they can get 20,000 each? It's impossible to give, and hence they are fighting for their resources. They are showing the importance of why they need these resources, and in case the hospital administrator thinks, okay, these 2 departments we can give 20,000, the remaining 3 departments are totally without resources and the services are going to be hampered because of this, and the conflict occurs. Then comes status inconsistencies. Wherever there is inconsistency in the status, the person who is at a higher level will always expect that the lower level person has to do whatever he is telling, and the lower level person, if that thing is not very important for him to complete, he will feel that whatever task I feel I should give priority, I should do that, and there is going to be a conflict. So how the conflicts can occur in hospital? One is communication before and after healthcare. Before healthcare to be given to the patient, the doctor has to communicate to the patient about exactly what seems to be the diagnosis of the problem he is suffering from, what are the alternative treatments available which he seems, and then he has to give the pros and cons of all. And then the patient has to decide which treatment issue he wants to take. And after healthcare, suppose the treatment decided by the patient is treatment A, but the doctor was thinking that treatment B is ideal for him. After healthcare, if the patient's response is not that good and the patient asks the doctor, why I am not becoming alright, the doctor will feel that he had suggested treatment A to be taken rather, and the patient himself has chosen treatment B. So there is a conflict of interest and conflict of understanding, and communication, if it is not proper, also can lead to conflict. So inadequate resources already we have seen last time. So in hospital usually the cost containment is necessary, and many times inadequate funds are available with them, because many of the equipments, many of the services that the hospital is providing, everywhere they have to pay cash, and the amount of bills that are generated, the patients are going to pay later. They cannot take everything in advance from the patients, and at times if you have opened new equipments, if you have taken very high technology which are going to be very costly, and you have to pay interest for that if you have taken loans and all. So inadequate resources is very common in hospitals many times, especially in public hospitals, if government has not given adequate subsidies for that, and they have to run with inadequate resources, and multiple departments need that resources, and the conflicts occur. Emotional quality of the work. Since the quality of work in hospitals is such, where they are dealing with patients who are in pain, who are suffering, and who need urgent treatment, and at times multiple patients may need urgent treatment from the same doctor. So he is in dilemma which patient to treat first, and if something goes wrong with the other patient, he is held responsible. So there is lot of emotional turmoil occurring in the mind of the doctor at times, and especially since he is dealing with human beings, not the things, any error occurs, a minor error also occur, it can lead to major morbidity or mortality of a patient. A patient may die, and then he feels guilty and responsible for that. So emotional quality of work itself is leading to lot of conflicts for hospital staff. Very few healthcare professionals have had the opportunity to learn the skills and processes which are necessary for negotiating their environments. In fact, most of the medical and paramedical professionals, when they are learning, they are more learning towards technical aspects of their functioning. They are very intelligent people, but they are learning mainly the technical aspects. They are not learning the communication skills. They are not taught about the emotional intelligence. They are not taught about the various aspects of life which they are going to face when they start practice. And there is a mismatch which occurs, which is going for them to be a problem while negotiating with the environment in which they are working. There is little formal training available to them for collaboration and good negotiation. They cannot negotiate. They cannot collaborate with others. Teamwork is not that much taught to them. Rather, it is more of individually they are learning, improving their clinical acumen and trying to treat the patients. So these things, when they come in hospital to work, it becomes difficult for them to get adjusted to this, and lot of conflicts occur. The healthcare system involves the wide disparity of knowledge, power and control experienced by the various players. There are multiple players working in the hospital, right from sweeper, class 4, clerical staff, accountant, the technical aspect by the x-ray technician, lab technician, the nurses, the doctors, etc. And everybody, if we see, they have got large difference in knowledge, large difference in power they have got based on their position, and the way they control is going to be different, and hence there is going to be a conflict occurring. For doctors, information may mismatch, there is lot of information overload, or there can be inadequate information for them to diagnose because the patient is comatose from beginning. Nobody is there to tell them what exactly happened, why he is in this state. There can be sometimes ambiguous instructions given by multiple doctors to the nurses, and then it is difficult for them to know whom to believe. There are communication barriers which occur between the various players of the hospital staff because of their different power, because of the different attitudes. Unresolved prior conflict can lead to mental torture, and then the way they decide will differ. Differences in perception may be there. One person perceives it to be very, some of the patients perceive the disease to be very much acute and much more than what the doctor feels, and then he is too anxious, and for minor things he is going to ask the doctor 50 questions, or again and again he disturbs the doctor, and the patient has got multiple patients, the doctor has got multiple patients to be seen and treated at, and some of the other patients may be more serious as compared to this, but this fellow feels that I am the only person who is very serious. So naturally it will lead to lot of conflict. The identity and role the person plays also will vary, and accordingly there can be conflicts. So what are the various characteristics of a conflict? As we have seen in earlier some of the definitions, it is natural when there are two or more people, there is going to be difference of opinion, difference of idea, some or the other problem occurs while interacting with each other in a group. So it is natural. It is potential possibility in any relationship, whether there is a relationship among the friends, between husband and wife, between child and parent, everywhere there is a potential some or the other conflict is likely to occur. A teenager feels that he knows everything, while he feels that the father is obsolete now. But the father is experienced person, he knows better than teenager, so there is a conflict of ideas, and the way they tackle any situation or a problem will differ, and hence the conflict will occur. It is not bad and need not be wiped out. Finally, some amount of conflict is necessary in a group which vibrates our mind to find out the solutions and enhances our knowledge and skill to do certain new things also. So it is not bad and it need not be wiped out. If managed effectively, it enhances the productivity of the group It makes people creative to get new ideas and all. Conflict should be considered open and trusting, that is, exchange of views and facts should be done while resolving the conflict, which enhances the knowledge of each. Conflict is caused by relationship among people and is not in the persons. So it is not an individual person who is getting the conflict. It is among the relationships between the two people or in a group that's occurring. Rarely is one completely right and the other completely wrong. It is not that one person is totally 100% right and the other person is 100% wrong. It can't be like that in conflicts. So one has to understand each other and try to resolve this in an amicable way. Giving concessions is not a sign of weakness or surrender. Suppose one person gives some concession to the other while resolving conflict, it doesn't mean that he is weak, he doesn't know what is required to be done, and just because he is weak, he is giving concession to other and let the other person win and he loses at times. So how conflict grows? There are 5 stages of conflict. One is latent conflict, that means it is not seen from outside, but within the mind of a person there is something, he feels that the things are not going on as they should, something is missing, something is going wrong, but he is not able to see exactly what's wrong. Then he starts perceiving the conflict, that yes, this is something wrong going. He perceives that and then he feels the conflict has occurred and his ego is hurt, and then it manifests, and then finally there are consequences of this conflict which occurs. In a hospital, say the employees are there, when the nurse is given orders by nursing superintendent and the doctor, and if she is able to manage that, there is not much, but within time pressure she tries to manage, and sometimes it seems to be a little difficult for her, then within her mind she is getting a conflict, now what should I do? It's a latent conflict still. And then she perceives, yes, now that has come, now within half an hour I am supposed to do both the tasks and it is difficult to complete within half an hour. And then finally she feels the conflict is there and it leads to irritability. Somebody asks her some question, some patient is asking some non-relevant thing, and she becomes irritable, she becomes angry with the patient, and that's how the conflict is manifested in some or the other way. And after conflict is there, there can be some consequences on her mind. She feels guilty afterwards, or she feels under stress later, and which can adversely affect her health. So this is how there are 5 stages of conflict. But one should feel that conflict is not always going to affect you adversely. There can be constructive aspect to the conflict also. So conflict is constructive when it results in clarification of important problems and issues. That's why in a team or a group we say that there should be some devil's advocate also, who is going to question negatively everything that is being discussed, which will clarify certain aspects. Otherwise a group thing may lead to sometimes disaster for the group, company or the hospital. So it may result in clarification of some of the important problems and issues that are there. It results in solution of the problems. It involves people in resolving issues which are important to them. It causes authentic communication. When a conflict is there, people are going to think rationally, not emotionally. They are going to do the communication which will have some backing if somebody asks the counter question. So there is authentic communication occurring. Helps release emotion. It is going to release the emotion of a person. His anxiety may be released and his stress may go away once the conflict is resolved amicably. Builds cooperation among people through learning more about each other. When a conflict occurs, and if they are trying to find out why he is telling this and why I am telling, what is the reason behind it, if they sit down across and discuss out the problems and tell their anxious moments because of this in an amicable way, then probably it will lead to better understanding of each other, and hence further cooperation will occur among both of them in resolving the conflict properly. So they will join and resolve the conflict and help the individual develop understanding and various skills of problem solving and concern, etc., and emotional EQ also, quotient also will improve by that. So the effect of conflict on organizational performance, if we see, it is clearly seen in this graph. If there is too low a conflict in an organization, what will happen? Too little conflict, also the performance will be low, because no new creative ideas will be coming up. People will be doing routinely whatever they are doing, and at times if something is going wrong also nobody is going to question. If the level of conflict is optimum, and then what will happen? People are going to think positively about that, and it will lead to effective decision making, and overall the performance of the organization improves. But if it is too high, too much of conflict is there, where people cannot come to solutions, their after effects will be disastrous to the organization, which can lead to strike, the picketing or the gerao, or even the murder of somebody if they are too violent.